さし
不吉心滅尊者離岸民心で言判理三権心度にて終わり欲難打心は十八章
I see the surface of the earth covered with flour and smeared with incense powder. It has all the continents of the planet, and there's the sun and the moon. I picture it as an enlightened paradise. And I offer it to you. You know, may all beings enjoy a paradise. So, I don't know, when I first started studying Buddhism, it was like, everybody talked about saving, they didn't even call it saving the world, they said, what do they call it? For all sentient beings. You know? And then you have this kind of image that, I don't know, somehow you become enlightened and then you can snap your fingers and everyone's okay or something like that. You know, at the time, I felt like that. But then as I learned more and more, it's like, if you could learn to see how things really work, right? If you could make money at will, or you could change people's health at will, or everybody could have a good relationship, the relationship they always wanted, if you had some kind of understanding that could cause that, and you could spread it, then you could say that would be saving the world. Got it? Then it would be a paradise, you see? So, I feel like that. We were in China, and lots of people were there, hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands. And then we would present all these ideas about how things are coming from you, the pen. And they would get it, and then we would say, that applies to money, that applies to your health, that applies to your partner. And they would get that. And then we would pose the question. At some point, this is all communist Chinese people, right? At some point we would say, what do you think would happen if everybody thought this way? And then there's a 30-second pause, and everybody in the audience, they kind of look up like this. You know how you look when you're thinking? You know, you go like this. So you see all the eyes go up towards the ceiling. And then all the hands would come up at the same time. And they'd say, oh, there'd be a perfect world. You know, the world would be perfect. You know, and these are people who just came to their first talk. You know, and they would get it. You know, so the key that would allow you to make it happen in the world is emptiness. You see? So if you must grasp emptiness, then you can save the world. You see? That's the only thing that lies between us and a perfect world. If people understood emptiness, then everything would be planet B, okay? All right. So it's crucial. This is crucial. If you're interested in saving the world, if you're interested in stopping the pain of the world, then this is crucial. This is it. Okay, here we go. And people, even people in the first time in an audience who grew up in a totally, what do you call it? Secular society. They would get it like that, you know. So maybe because they grew up in a secular society. I don't know. So here we go. We were talking about Henke Kim Nangso De Jesu Dangne Nge Se Su. And we were talking about a pen. So, you look at a pen, and there's a feeling about where it comes from, right? There's a feeling about that it's out there, and it comes from itself. And when you hold up a pen, you're not consciously thinking, oh, that's coming from me, right? So there's a way that this pen is appearing to me. There's something coming from the pen towards me, which is a false appearance, that it comes from itself. There's that kind of pen there. If your mind is in that mode, and say, su, nyamba tabu, if all you say is, I ate lunch, nothing more. If you are seeing things this way and you say, I ate lunch, then you're already in trouble. Okay, you're gonna die. Okay, that makes you mortal. That will kill you. Eventually, that will kill you. It's very powerful. Okay, so he says that. Ngar shembayin. That's what it means to be holding to the gakja. Ma tak ma chepe le tak nam tsam te chimba chene ngar do ngar do che do do ki chawa chepe te mingyang tak ye tsam la jaje te pe tsuyin. Matak machepa, say matak.
Matak
machepa.
Matak machepa.
Matak means you don't look into it. Machepa means you don't investigate. You don't analyze. Without analyzing the question or without looking into it, if you say, is the person in the mirror Mike? You can say, yeah, that's Mike. Okay, is this a pen? It is a pen. That's not wrong. To say it's a pen is not wrong. Matar machepa. Okay? Without investigating the question of where it came from, ultimately, it's a pen. Matar machepa. Lut tak natam. Just the me that's coming from my mind. Okay? I like to do it with a pen. Pretend that's Mike, okay? The Mike was coming from my mind, okay? What do you mean the mic was coming from my mind? This is the last thing we always do in China. I tell Ningbo, go sit over there and get the camera ready. You know? And then everybody's, you know, being secular. And we're talking about pens and money. And then I say, the last thing I always say is, you know, I hold up the pen. And then I put my arm there. And I say, is it the same? You know, Jagashishima. You know, what is this? And then they all go. Then you see this spark in their eye. Something, because we're all mortal, right? Whatever country you live in, you're mortal. And then there's a spark in their eye. The spark goes like this, you know? And then it's all back to, then we give congratulations to the organizers. But when I say, you just hold it up, and then there's this feeling that, yeah, Mike comes from here also. The mortality of his arm. The blood vessel, the skin, the bone, the mortal part are also coming from me. The mortality of it is coming from me, right? Because I haven't respected life enough, okay? So if I had, I would see something different. Woof, woof, right? And then try to explain to a dog that this could have been a pen. Come from planet B and sit in a room of planet A people. And say, you know, You know, try sitting in a bunch of, you know, poodles and say, you know, they're, you know, no, that's the communication gap between, it's that serious, you know, to come to a room and say, you don't have to buy, you don't have to use cars that don't work, you can take aspirins that work every time, you can arrange it so you never have to take an aspirin. People hear it and people process it, but people don't really, on a deep level, I guess, we're just too used to living the other way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a huge leap for a poodle to write a poem. You know? But we have to try. Okay, here we go. If you just leave it at that, Timba Cheney means be satisfied with that. Let it go at that. Then you can say Mike goes. Mike is going to go home to his cabin and take a nap. I'm going to stay, I'm going to go. Che. The whole way that stuff works, you know? People go, people come. It's all cool. It's all right. You can... Understanding emptiness doesn't mean you can't say, I'm going to walk home today. Okay? To think that you can't say, I'm going to walk home today, if you understand emptiness, is a mistake. Okay? You can say it. You do go home. You will go home. Okay? If your toilet work or not, I don't know. Okay. Thank you, La. Ngai nangtsul ki chotsam shik ngai thane jokpe lo. Lo la ang ong. Okay, this is very difficult. We posited three states of mind that were looking at Mike. The first one looked at Mike and said, Mike is a product of the seeds in my mind. According to the degree of kindness I have shown to others. Okay? That was the first one. What was the second one was, I just look in the mirror and that's Mike, and I don't worry about it. I'm not worrying where he came from. I'm just shaving his face, and I'm not like analyzing where did he come from. Okay? Then the third one was an active denial that he could have come from me. Okay? Is this pen made by seeds in your mind or by a pen factory? You see, and your immediate reaction is pen factory, and then you've drawn a wrong. Now you're actively wrong. That's the third way of looking at Mike. Okay? Somebody asks you, where did Mike come from? And you say, he was born from his mom. You know, and he lives in Arizona. And I hear him talking because he got in a car and he made it across the road here. Okay? And not because the seeds in my mind are going off. Every word of the... Lama Christie really likes to... She loves this thing about... which I turned her on to one day. When you turn the page... What you see is flowing from your own mind. You wrote the book that I'm teaching you, okay? And in essence, the rest of any book is blank pages until you turn it. And then your mind lays down the words. You see, it's very interesting. You are producing this book as we go. You are throwing stepping stones down on the ground and then stepping on them. You see, it's cool, okay? This book will change according to whether you guys do yoga tomorrow. Okay? What this book says will change according to whether you do your practice tomorrow. Okay? It's very interesting. If you don't do your practice, it'll say something less interesting. Because you're writing it. Okay? It's very interesting. Okay. But then he says something. He says, I'll ask you a question, and this is a theme that he's going to get into now. When you are just looking at the guy in the mirror and shaving his face, which we said was okay, right? That's a pramana, that's a correct perception. That's Mike. But would you say that any part of that perception is infected by the third? Yeah, okay? All right, got it? To some extent, every perception, even that I'm just shaving Mike's face, And no one's asked me yet where he came from. Okay? Matarma Chepa. Nobody's getting philosophical. They just said, did you shave this morning, Geshe-Michael? I said, yes. You know, you can feel. I shaved this morning. And then they say, but they don't ask me, where'd your face come from? Okay? Just, was Mike in the mirror? Yes. Is that state of mind infected by the thing? Yes. Yeah, necessarily. Okay? To some extent, it's always, that's what he's saying here, okay? Nangso choksam shik, nai tani jobe lo la ang ong means it also infects the other state of mind. Okay? So even an innocent perception, which is valid and correct, that Mike is in the mirror getting shaved, is infected by a belief that he's not coming from me. Okay? Alright? And that what happens to him is not produced by the amount of kindness or meanness I show to others. Alright? It infects even our, what they call, nominal perceptions. Okay? Conventional perceptions. Unkyam, but, de la lenge ki nanso jita wa shin, yu nang shenda mandep ma depar selpor mi charwa. But to isolate from the shaving the face perception, the percentage of it which believes that the face came from out there is almost like trying to separate milk out of water. Okay? Like some part of your perception is infected by believing that Mike is coming from himself and not from seeds in my mind. But to separate those two states of mind, you know, to say, this percentage of my mind was okay, it was just getting shaved. And this percentage of my mind thought that Mike was coming from himself. Okay? To separate those two minds, which are always intertwined at any given moment, is extremely difficult, he says. Mandepa Sabha Machara. It's not as if it's very clear at any given moment that a part of your mind is actively mistaken. Okay? It's not clear. Even after you've been trained about emptiness, to isolate the part of your mind which is thinking the wrong way is very difficult. Macharwe, rang shingi tsuk tuk tu dupe nang su dang, de nang su, nai nang su ni soso je she gu. Soso je she gu means you must become adept at learning to distinguish between the okay perception of Mike and the not okay perception of Mike. Okay? Otherwise you go to some extreme. Otherwise you make, you know, you could say nothing matters or nothing's real or something like that. Okay? So, is Mike teaching?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he speaking words?
Yes.
Yeah. Is the content of what he's speaking coming from his thoughts?
No.
No. Okay? You've just distinguished between the okay, two okay perceptions, right? Is Mike up there? Yes. Is he speaking? Yes. Is what he's saying coming from him? No. Okay? And then you have to separate those two perceptions. Right? You have to get good at that. The content is coming from me. Okay? The content is coming from me. Is he there? Yes. What's going on is coming from me. Okay? It's a great, when you teach this, and mainly I'm concerned that this week you learn to teach the poster. Okay? If anybody leaves this camp without being able to teach the poster, I'd be really pissed off. Okay? I want you to run out and go to the yoga center in Sacramento and say, you know, I could give 3 nights of really interesting talks. Look, I got this poster. You know? No, it's like that. It's like Wheel of Life or something. It's so cool to show up at a yoga studio and say, I'm going to give 3 nights of free talks. I'll get you more people to take yoga here. You can get them on a monthly membership or something. I'm not charging you anything. I'll give 3 nights of free talks. And I got this sexy, you know, ancient Tibetan poster about how to meditate. And you should think like that this week, okay? Think about how you're going to go to the center in Houston. You know, I want you to think that way, and I want it to go down in the next month or two. Okay? But you can't do that responsibly unless you're scribbling notes all over the poster as we go. Okay? But I really, really want to hear that, you know, 150 people went and taught the meditation poster. I want it to be, what do you call it? Abby Hoffman wrote a book when I was in college called Steal This Book. It was so fun. We used to go to bookstores and steal it. And I want you to do that. You know, I want to see this poster everywhere. This top secret Tibetan ancient meditation poster. And I want everyone to steal it without asking me and print them and teach them. Okay? All right. That's my hope. So put your mind in that frame for the next week. You know, like, how would I teach that? You know, I think I'd leave out the elephant's yarmulke thing. Or, you know, you decide. Okay. You decide. Okay. Ngai nang sun ni so so je ko. Nga jen heng ke de rang re gyu la yun du mi lam du ne kap sun che du yue kyang. We have in our minds a tendency. It's today's subject, okay? I hold up the pen. The minute you see the pen, you already have some feeling that is coming from itself. It's ingrained in your mind for countless billions of years, okay? If you really understand past lives. For countless billions of years, you have looked at pens and said they are coming from their own side. And now you have, you know, that's a tsunami coming at Amsterdam, right? And there's this guy with his whole finger in the hole. You're like, there's a tsunami. There's a 100-foot tsunami drawing close to the wall. And here's you with your finger in the hole in the wall. You know, like, I'm going to stop the tsunami. You know, I'm going to start to see the pen in a different way. You're working against billions of lifetimes of wrong idea, okay? So, even in your dreams, says Pabongkor Meche, you are still, even in dreams when you see objects, you take them to be coming from the object. Even in your dream, even in your dreams, because it's billions of years of conditioning. When you stop thinking that way, the billions of years will end. And you will take on a different form of life, like someone coming out of a cocoon, like the difference between a worm and a butterfly, you know? Stop that one way of thinking, and you will evolve into a higher life form, you know, called an Arya, okay? And it's a beautiful, it's amazing, okay? Planet B person, all right? And you will be as different from a Planet A person as a butterfly is from a worm, right? Okay. Now he gets into an interesting subject. You see, we're constantly, even in our dreams, when you hold up an object, the mind immediately believes that it's coming from its side, right? Immediately, instinctively, more than instinctively, almost as part and parcel of the mind, you believe the thing is coming this way, from the object, right? To catch yourself doing that is really hard. Like, I have to sit here and say, this is a pen, could it be a chew toy? You know, who's right, the dog or the person? You know, and then I have to say, if I put it here and take all the dogs out of the room and all the people out of the room, what happens? It's nothing. Okay? So is it coming this way or is it coming this way? And then everybody in the room says, oh, it must be coming this way. You know, so I said, oh, well, that seed's in your mind because you gave a pen to somebody else in the past. You put a seed in your mind, that's ripening, and you see a pen. Get it? Yeah. Then I hold up the pen and everybody's like, boing. You know? Okay? It's like that. Okay? Then how do you catch yourself doing it? You see? It's so subtle. It's so instantaneous. It must happen a microsecond after the visual consciousness, but we can't catch it. It's probably 1/65th of a second after the visual consciousness. You see a certain object, and then there's this percentage of the mind that believes it's coming this way. Automatic. It's automatic. Okay? How do you catch yourself doing it? But Bhagavan Rinpoche says, put yourself under duress. Put yourself under duress. Because then it's more obvious what's happening. Okay? He'll explain. All right? Put yourself into a dangerous or frightening situation. Or a very emotional situation. And the degree to which this thing, it looks like it's coming from itself, will increase exponentially. And I ain't talking about pens, I'm talking about Mike and Darcy and whoever. Okay? Then it'll be easier to catch. Alright? Because it's so big. You know? You're stupid. No, I'm not. Then that eye is pretty big. Okay? Alright? So he's going to suggest that. But when someone either praises you highly, or what do you call it? What's the opposite?
Criticizes
you strongly. Some kind of either happiness or sadness, sukha dukkha, right? Chembo shik chuma itse. Then selbo nundugur. Then for a brief period, the mic that's coming from himself will kind of announce himself big time. Like, that's a good time to catch yourself feeling that there's a mic coming from Mike.
Okay.
All right? When you're very happy or you're very upset. Okay. In cases of emotional, what do you call it? Stress, or what's the opposite? High emotion. In situations of high emotion, the wrong sense of me inflates. And then that's a good time to catch yourself doing it. All right? Here we go. Perna, mi shemba shiki rangna gu kak tabu tupana. So suppose somebody comes up to you and says, you know, we figured out who stole the Liberation in the Hampama Hands books from the bookstore this morning. And you say, really? Who is it? And they say, you. You know, totally, what do you call it? Unfounded. Did you say it? Yeah, totally unfounded accusation. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Kak tabu tupana. You get very upset, you know, and you say, "Nala nak me," means it wasn't me. I don't have any, what do you call it, fault or guilt, or I don't know. It wasn't me. Okay, guilt nak gel me. It's not. I'm not to blame. I cannot be accused. I wasn't even near the centennial vice, whatever it is. I wasn't even near the place this morning. I was sleeping. Even during the meditation class, I was sleeping. Okay? Then you get upset. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. You can try to prevent yourself from feeling that, but it's gonna burst out. Okay? Kukak zukbe yudang, na ne tek. So, the person who's being accused of stealing the books from the bookstore, and na ne teki mare, sepe na. The me who's the guy who's wrongly accused, and the me who is not at fault, right? Who is not culpable, okay? Nyabe shiki ningi kine. Ningi kine means from the very depths of your heart. Okay? Sur ling ling. So say ling ling.
Ling
ling means like that, you know? That mic is coming at you like whoo, you know? Ling ling means wow. Okay? Like that mic is like what do you call it? Like a big wave. It just washes over you. Okay? This big mic. Who? The mic who was accused and the mic who was innocent. These big two mics come to you. Okay? Got it? Kine, tsulilin, nam tinge wa charwade, gakche chatsu yin. That's the gakcha dancing before you. That's the gakcha dancing before you. Put yourself in a situation where you are wrongly accused. Or your partner saying some bad thing to you, you know? And and your anger arises. And then there's this big illusory me who's the victim. You see what I mean? And then the one you have to defend, you know, the one who's been wronged, you know, gets very big. So in those circumstances, you can take the opportunity to examine the gakcha. The gakcha will be in your face. Ling ling. That's a good translation, maybe. Okay. Sarada the gakcha chatsu yin.
Deitar gajik tan deidu ki ken kanya rungwa la ten bai longun yorwa shiki ngamzin henge shukchen keiru chukne.
This is interesting. So he says, maybe if you are really a serious practitioner, you could put yourself purposely into situations that either brought on great fear or great pleasure. And then, you know, like someone's telling you, oh, you did a great job. We never had an event organizer like you. And everybody gives you a big applause. And then this big Rebecca shows up. So put yourself in situation either of being praised or being criticized. Like purposely put yourself in those situations. Okay. I think I'd rather be in the praised one, right? Okay. Shukchendu chukne. Deitsam. And then you can check him out. Then you can check that mic out. You know, is he coming from himself or from somebody else? Okay. What would it mean in a case where somebody accused you of stealing the books from the bookstore and this big Mike showed up who was innocent, right? This strong, strong feeling of Mike showed up who was innocent. How could you deflate him? How could you wipe away the gotcha? Huh? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay? He cannot stand up under that analysis. That's a very famous emptiness language. He cannot stand up under that kind of analysis. You see? A Mike who is truly innocent, meaning who has never accused anyone else of doing something that they weren't at fault, right? Try to find that one. Okay? Try to find a Mike who's being accused who never accused anybody else of anything. And then suddenly that big Mike melts. And then the gakcha is gakked. Got it? The gakcha is gakked. Okay? Because gakcha means the thing you gotta gak. Okay? Gakcha means the thing you gotta... Oh, what do you call it? Like... melt or disprove or huh? Yeah, or something, I don't know. Make disappear.
Eradicate.
Eradicate. But it's more like something that was never there, you see? It's like it's in a refute's okay. It's kind of a big word. What did I do with the mouse when I saw the leaf? You see, you find a verb for that. That's what it is. I disappeared him. Okay? Like that. That's God. Okay, where were we? Someday koi nangso la takku. Okay, now, cool. So, put yourself in situations where this self-existent Mike, who's not coming from something I did, is being wrongly accused, or where he's being praised lavishly. Put yourself in situations like that. Well, I'm trying all the time, but it doesn't happen. Purposely put yourself in a situation like that, and then deflate that mic by understanding that he's coming from having done the same thing to somebody else before. Right? It's just a perception forced on me by something I did to someone else before. And then that mic gets pretty well deflated. Okay. Right. Actually, any praise you encounter in your life is due to something you did 6 months ago. And you could do the same action and people would be criticizing you if you had criticized somebody else in the past. It has nothing to do with how good an action you just did. You know that. Sometimes you do something really good and everybody criticizes you. Sometimes you do something really bad and they're all like, you're really cool. Okay? It doesn't relate to what you did. It relates to what you said to somebody 6 months ago. Okay? Once you can think that way, then it's hard to get up in front of a bunch of people and have them praise you and think you're cool. Okay? Then you don't worry about it so much. You got that. Okay, he gives a really good example. How are you going to catch yourself misunderstanding yourself? How are you going to catch yourself misunderstanding yourself? He says, Deni pena, let's take an example. Lamdu minyi shigne doana. Two people are walking down a path side by side, especially here, okay, over the ice, okay, side by side. Mik surki. You are focusing on your friend. You're having a conversation, right? So you're focusing on the friend, but you're also, one part of your mind is watching the ice patches, unless you want to fall on your butt. Okay? So really two things are going, your attention is split. You're talking to your friend, but you're always going like this, you know? To see if you're going to hit one of those speed humps, right? So your attention, one part of your mind is attending to the condition of the path. And then most of your mind is attending to your discussion with your friend, okay? Mr. Drogtan Lam Nikar Tagne, Drogtar, Lo Ling Heng Teki Ngor Nene, Gache Nawa Chadu Chukla. So, put yourself in situations where you might be able to catch yourself seeing things wrong due to the emotional intensity, either high praise or high criticism going on, okay? Put yourself in situations where that's going down, okay? And then lo chashe chamot shiki, with a subtle corner of your thoughts, hlengeki nansa latakwa. See if you can catch your other part of your mind, see if you can catch it thinking that the me is coming from himself. Okay? See if a little part of your own mind can catch the rest of your mind thinking that you are coming from yourself, which is in fact the only way you can get upset about being blamed for something. If you weren't looking at yourself, if Mike wasn't looking at Mike wrong, Mike couldn't get upset by someone blaming him for something. Because if he was looking at Mike the right way, he would understand that if Mike got blamed for something, it was because Mike blamed somebody else before. And the only natural, intelligent reaction to being blamed would be to stop blaming other people in the future, and you wouldn't be thinking at all about the person who was blaming you, because that doesn't do anything. Okay? Which, the net result is you're nice all the time. Okay? Like, my Lama used to say, even if all this is BS, the worst thing that can happen is you'll just be nice all the time. Okay? Okay, I'll run it by you one more time, because I need it for myself, which is why you let me be here. Someone blames me for something. Then an empty-nisser person automatically thinks, the first thought is, oh, who did I blame in the last few weeks? You know? And then their second thought is, four powers. And then their third thought is, power number three. And then their next thought is, I should stop blaming other people. And that's the extent of the conversation. The conversation never goes to, why is this person blaming me? Because you know why they're blaming you. Okay? And there's no reaction to the other person. Because you don't have time to react to them and think all these other thoughts. You know? Then by the time you have time to react to them, there's no sense to react to them. Because you already have a plan. You have a game plan. I'll stop blaming other people and this person will go away. And the conversation is over. Okay? Then the worst that can happen is you stop blaming other people. And if there's no such thing as karma, you just become a nicer person. Okay? All right. Easy to say, impossible to do. Okay.
Nangso takpe lo shukche na jindangi ngar cha shigne tomba do am. This is interesting. He says, you know, he advised us that a certain corner of our mind should be observing how the rest of our mind believes that mind comes from himself. Okay? So a corner of our mind should be observing the rest of the mind and observing how wrong they are. It is. And believing that things are coming from their own side. Okay? Then he says an interesting thing. Paboka Rinpoche, he's very, very, very subtle. You will never see anything like this in any other Buddhist scripture. He is unbelievably subtle. It means he must have been practicing it all the time. You know? But he says, you know, in my experience, don't let the examining mind get too big. Use a corner of your mind, but don't use half your mind or three quarters of your mind, because you'll lose it. Because then too much of your mind is correct. Okay? Like, don't overdo it. Okay? Let the other part of the mind be screwy. You know? Don't like convince him right away. Let him misunderstand stuff so you can watch him misunderstand stuff. Okay? But don't understand too much, because then you won't misunderstand anymore. And there won't be anything to watch. Okay? It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Misal word get ready. Tapke, but that, what's tapke? Yeah, be skillful. You know, what do you call it? Be skillful in watching yourself. Because if you're too right, there won't be anything to watch. Okay. Ne means what? Mama heart, mama? Marma?
Crucial point.
Crucial point, marma. That's a very important point. De che nga jin henge la nga jita nangin dukpate pana. Nangin, say nangin.
Nangin.
Dupana.
Dupana.
Gin is very, very colloquial. You won't find it in any dictionary. It means in the act of happening. So nangin means as it's appearing to you. As your mind is misunderstanding, try to catch it in the act. We say in the act. Nangin. While that wrong mic is appearing to you, try to catch it. Okay? Kapre, luki tengne yubba dabu dang. Kapre, semki tengne yubba dabu. So, sometimes that mic will show up coming from your body. Sometimes that mic will show up coming from your mind. Okay, what's that mean? Sometimes you'll look at your body and say, there's mind coming from mind. I look at my body and I say, if it's flesh out there, by the way, you might as well commit suicide. Okay? Because you can't change it. You can go through the rest of your life or you can just end it. Right? If it's coming from its side, there's nothing you can do. It'll just get old and it will kill you. You know, so I think you should go out and have a couple of beers and then just jump off a bridge or something. Okay? And my brother did, I know, you know. So you can, but you look at your body and you can catch yourself thinking my body's coming from my body. And you can also look at your thoughts and think that my thoughts are coming from my thoughts. But, sok cha tsu na tsu ong yang, yang means but. That's not the main thing we're worried about. Okay? Looking at your body and thinking it comes from the body. Thinking about your thoughts and thinking they're coming from the thoughts. That's not the big one that we're working on. What is? Dakshi lu sem tan dakche kansak ma chewe tsokpa bhammewa shiki tengne. Nga lingyawa shik ming de partak tsam mimbal kurangi ngune tsutu pa drupe nangwa shik lamgi shana de gakchen nang tsu chukme yimbe. More importantly, this is getting hard and it's hot in here and you're getting sleepy. Okay. I think, yeah. The worst thing for concentration is heat, in my mind. I freeze people. And they all like complain afterwards. It's okay. This is tough, okay?
Are you your body? Are you your body?
No.
No. Are you your mind?
No.
Now careful. Are you your mind and body together?
No.
That's a difficult one, you know. I remember Janice, what's her name? Braden. What's her name?
Janice Braden.
Yeah, what's your mom's name? Carmen. What's her real name?
Chinila.
Yeah, Chinny. So, Chinila, one of the first student of Ken Rinpoche, like in 1970 something, 72 or something. Very first student. So she had a child. And then she used to bring the child to class the way that Aura brings Bella to class sometimes. So she was like 5 years old. And I remember we came out of this class and I'm like, I saw her, you know, in the kitchen because she had to sit in the kitchen. And then I went in and I said, Janice, I got a question for you. And she said, yes. And I said, are you your body? And she said, no. And then I said, are you your mind? And she said, no. I said, are you your body and your mind together? She said, of course. What else? I am. I'm every, you know, that's all of me. That's all there is. My body plus my mind is who I am. You know, and I was like... So don't say it so easily. Don't say no so easily. Aren't you? Aren't you all your physical parts and all your mental parts pasted together? Isn't that you?
No.
I don't know. What's wrong with saying that?
You as a perception.
Huh?
You as a perception.
Yeah, so here's a delicate thing, okay? Be careful. You could have separate sheets of Tibetan text. You could have a back cover and a front cover. And you could have the cloth, okay? But to somebody, what do they call those kind of people? Autistic, I think. Is it autistic? They have conceptual problems. They can't glue things together the way most of us do. You see what I mean? They couldn't see these three things as one thing. All they would see would be pages and covers and a clock. But they wouldn't think book. Okay? They could see parts, but they can't see the whole somehow. Okay? Which proves something. The book is not only its part. The book is also the state of mind which synthesizes the parts into a whole. Without that state of mind, it's not a book. Then it's just pieces of stuff. You see, there has to be a fourth element here. The pages, the covers, the cloth, and the thought that it's a book. And the mind which puts the three together and calls that a book. Because maybe a different state of mind could look at this table and see these two cloths together and say there are two beautiful cloths. And they wouldn't consider the orange cloth part of the book. They would consider it rather part of the altar cloth. You see, your mind decides where the lines are drawn. And for those of us in this room, having offered others literary educations in the past, we see it as a book. But it's not in the pages, and it's not in the cover, and it's not in the cloth. That's coming from your mind. That's a synthetic image that you are encasing the pieces with. And without that, it wouldn't be a book. So are you your mind and your body together? You could say not only. How's that? Until you think of yourself as yourself, it's just meat and thought. Okay? There has to be something which ties them together, synthesizes them into mind, which is done by the mind and not from their side. There's nothing inherently connected between this meat and those thoughts. You see? It's a perception. Somebody's tying them together and calling them mind. Okay? They are not mind by themselves. Without the synthesizing whole, they're just parts. Okay? Why are we talking about that? Yeah. So listen carefully, okay? We just talked about how it's a mental process in your own mind that's gluing the meat and the thoughts together and calling it might, okay? It's a it's a concept coming out of your own mind, which is gluing together this meat and those thoughts and calling it the package. He's calling the package mind. Okay? The people who don't think that, people who haven't thought about that, look at the arm, think about the thoughts, and think that must be mine. It's where we got stuck about 3 minutes ago. Okay? When if I say, is the meat and the thoughts mine? And you say yes, you're flirting with the gakcha. You're somewhere close to the gakcha. You're somehow thinking this meat and these thoughts were mine automatically. Before anybody thought of them as mine. Got it? They are yelling mine. They are by themselves mine. Whether I think of them as mine or not. Okay? That's gakcha. Then you're near the gakcha. The human tendency is to take the collection of parts and believe that that's the thing. Before the mind thinks of them as that. Which is the last part that you need. Okay? You don't have all the parts of a person until you have the state of mind that's gluing them all together. Got it? So is your mind and your body mind? No. Well, what is mind? My mind and my body and the thought to think of them as mind. Okay? Then that's the whole mind. And that's the real mind. That mind is there. Why does thinking of mind that way make a difference? What's the point? Why bother? Why throw that last thing into mind? Well, is it wrong to think that mind is just his body and his mind? Yeah, because if I understand that thinking of the meat and thoughts as Mike is also part of Mike, if I understand that, then I can change Mike. Then Mike can change. Mike can change from mortal to immortal. You know? Mike can change to someone who's pretty frequently criticized to someone who is rarely criticized. Which would be nice. Okay. Alright. Chesan, that's all. Ming, you're hanging in there very well. I really admire you. Okay? I know everyone's totally burned out from, especially the Diamond Mountain people are basket cases. But I'm impressed. Okay. Partak-san, the China people are a little bit better, but not much. Okay. Kunagin Gune Tsutup Dudube Namashik Lamki Shana De Gakchen Nangsut Chukme yin. Chukme means, now you've got, chukme means no boo-boo. You really got the mic now. You got the mic who's not the mic. Who's the mic that's not the mic? The mic that's just Mike's body and mind. Without somebody thinking of them as Mike. Why thinking of them as Mike? Due to the relative amount of kindness they have paid to others in the past. Okay? That always has to be the punchline. Due to the relative amount of kindness they paid to others in the past. Which is forcing me to think of Mike as Mike. Okay? If it's a good Mike, I was nice to other people. If it's a bad Mike, I was mean to other people. Right? You gotta put in those last lines or else Peter's thing doesn't matter. Because the last part is what means I can change Mike. Okay. Excuse me. Denga sena garpa le lao. Say le lao.
Le lao.
Le lao. Le lao means it's a cinch. It's easy. Le lao. Okay, it's easy. What? De gak. What's that? To stop it. Okay, to stop what? The wrong mic. Okay? The mic who should not have been blamed. There's no such thing. The mic who was wrongly blamed? Who didn't deserve to be blamed? Is there such a thing? There is no such thing. Okay, got it? Put your mind on the mic who didn't deserve to be blamed. You got it? It never existed. There's no such thing. You always deserve what you get. Okay? Okay, no, that's gakcha. You want an easy gakcha. Lelao. You want a lelao gakcha? The mic who didn't deserve to be blamed. You know, the mic who was unjustly blamed. There's no justice that he was blamed. Can you find one like that? No, it's all, the universe is perfectly just. People get really upset when I say that. You know, when it finally dawns on them that there's a perfect justice to life, it's very irritating. You know? Like, I created that person in my life? Yes. You mean every detail? Yes. You mean even the way they talk? Yes. That sucks. You know? Yeah, okay. So if you want an easy form of the gotcha, think of the you who didn't deserve the last, you know, harm that someone did you. That's the gotcha. The Nick who didn't deserve to be criticized by the last person who criticized him is the gotcha. This is cool. You know, because we're playing with a gotcha that makes a difference. You know, then Nick will be more interested in not criticizing others rather than being interested in being upset at someone who's criticizing him wrongly, because there's no such person. Okay? And then he saves so much time. He just concentrates on being nice to other people. And then the whole mental space of defending yourself against what? Unjust criticism is stopped. You save all that disk, what do you call it? Hard disk space. You know, the mind, remove 50% of the stuff from a computer which is filled to 97% capacity, right? How fast it goes. It's the same with the mind. Throw out the 50% of your mind time that's spent on defending yourself from unjust, there's no unjust criticism, right? And then suddenly the hard disk is moving so fast because you just recovered half your mind time. Yeah, and you're happy. Okay? It's really fun. Okay? All right. When time am I supposed to stop? No way. You're gonna make them die. Yeah, 3:30. Okay, here we go. Can you hang in there, you alright? You like saving the world right now, okay? Whether you're aware of it. Like 2 years from now you go, boing, I get it. Alright. Dena nen de chawe gashi kyapche kyapchung la sopar kulwa yin. This is a delicate point, okay? If you don't get what we just went through correct, and someone says, what's the gakcha? You will either overestimate it or underestimate it, right? You will either say that too few things are the gotcha, or you'll say too many things are the gotcha. For example, is there a Nick?
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't understand emptiness well, you would say there's no Nick. Okay? Alright? Then the extent of the gotcha got too big. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about the extent of the gotcha in your mind. How widespread is the gotcha in your mind? Does it cover everything? And a wise one should say no. Well, who doesn't it cover? Nick. Nick who? The Nick whose face I was shaving in the mirror. He's there. I mean, I cut him this morning. Okay? He's there. The Nick who got cut, you know, was it that it was a lousy razor blade? Was it that it was an old razor blade? And then the wise one will say, no. It was that I hurt someone, and that's why the razor blade was dull this morning, okay? That person, you see, the person who says, how do you say it? If you say the razor blade was dull, so it cut me, then your estimate of the extent of the gakcha is too small. Okay? You gotta widen up a bit. It also includes a dull razor blade. Gakcha also includes dull razor blades, but doesn't include Nick. No. So get it the right extent of the gakcha. Don't make it too fat, don't make it too skinny. Okay? And the trick is to get the gakcha just the right weight. Okay? Is Nick there? Yes. Okay, so the gakcha is not too big. Was the razor blade dull, and is that what cut you? No, good, then it's not too small. Then we're also through the... We also threw the razor blade into the stuff with gakcha. Okay? Got it? Alright. Ding wen zin ma che pan na tak tu char la wen zin che pan na nu sem tso pe ten du yip te du pe mi nye pe chir. Dingman Zen Chepa na Dr. Char. Dingman Zen Ma Chepa na Dr. Char. If you're unable to identify the Nick that doesn't exist, he will continue to appear to you. Who? I didn't do anything wrong. Okay? The Nick who is unjustly blamed. Okay? If you can't identify that non-existent thing, it will continue to harass you. Okay? Then you'll be always defending yourself. Alright? Dr. Chana. Munjin Chepana, but if you're able to identify the Nick who's not there. Which one was that? The Nick who is wrongly accused. Unjustly accused. I like unjustly. Because everything is perfectly just. The word unjust shouldn't exist. Okay. Somebody said a cute thing the other day. They said, this is totally irrelevant, okay? They said, but it was so cute. They said, we have no choice but to accept free will. I was like, okay. Munjin Chepana, Lusen Sope Tengdu, Yipte, Dupe, Minyebe Echa. But the Nick who is not Nick is always hiding in Nick. That the Nick that we see. Okay. So the Nick who is unjustly accused is always hanging out around Nick. For people, we can see that it's there, potentially, if we understand the Gopcha. You know, we can always misunderstand Nick. The Nick who was unjustly accused is always close to Nick. For people who understand. Meaning they can catch themselves easily, got it? They see that they could make an easy mistake. Under pressure. All this philosophy goes down the drain under pressure. Okay. I was in India during the oil, what do you call it? Embargo thing. And we couldn't get anything. I was in Dharamsala. And a kerosene truck would come once a week. So, you know, I was cooking on my own. And we're talking Coleman stove. A single burner Coleman thing, you know, that's all every family had. And I had one. And I depended on it to eat, you know, because I had to cook my own food, bread and everything. So in that little thing. And then, you know, I'm like, I ran out of kerosene, you know, and they said, don't worry, there's a truck coming on Friday. I went down, lower Dharamsala, and there was like 2,000 people waiting for the truck. And then the truck came. And everybody, people were kicking, biting, pushing, you know. Old women were being trod into the ground. And I was like freaked out. You know, I was like 21 or something. I'm like, you know, I'm American, you know, I'm civilized. And I wouldn't do that. You know, then I spent 1 week without bread, 1 week without rice, you know. Next week, I was the tallest guy there. And I got my kerosene, you know? So under pressure, all this philosophy goes out the window, you know? Like, you can blame Nick to a certain extent, you know? But blame him for the broken pipes, then it's too much. Then he'll get upset, you know? He'll forget about the unjustly blamed Nick that didn't exist, okay? Okay. And what you can do is put yourself in situations where you explore that border. You can purposely put yourself in situations to explore that border, you know, and strengthen your view. You know? Put yourself in situations where you are blamed for things that you never even came close to. And don't tell anybody. And just explore how you feel. Because you couldn't even be blamed in a self-planned way if you hadn't criticized others. Got it? Okay. All right. Munjin Chepana. Pena Yangsa Chembo Shiki Kar Doete. Take yourself to the edge of a cliff. There's a nice one in China called the Umeshan. Have you been to Umeshan? Yeah. Then there you go up, And there's a straight cliff. It goes down like a mile. And Buddhists used to go up there and jump. And there was a tradition that you would go to Nirvana and you wouldn't then hit they never found the body. You know, so me and Christy went up there to see it, you know, and I'm standing on the edge and I'm like, if she tells me to jump, am I going to jump, you know? If she says let's jump, am I going to jump, you know? I was like, yeah. I kept talking to her, look, there's cotton candy over there. yeah, I got off. Take yourself to the edge of a cliff, like that. It's really frightening. It's like a mile straight down. A kind of terror will arise in your heart. Like, I'm about to fall. I might fall. People were playing at the edge. There was no, like, gate or, you know, people were, these kids and teenagers were, like, taking photos, and ha-ha, and I'm like, you know, and, at that moment, you don't think, oh, Michael's body might fall, or Michael's mind might fall, okay? You don't make these distinctions. You say what? I might fall, okay? So your mind is holding, this is, I have a little, I'm not sure about this part. Okay, I'm really not sure about this part. Anyway, I'll present it, but anyway, okay, let's go. Samsung Yam make Lu Sam Yi Yer make O Chu Dipa Dawe Teng Ne Yang Du Sung Yu Na Ling Yi Washi Chava Ong Day Yin. Rather, there is a mic who is somehow mixed up with body and mind in the way that water is mixed with milk. Okay? Indivisibly mixed. There's a mic mixed into body. Body and mind are mixed, and there's a mic there. Okay? And then you think that mic shouldn't fall. Okay? But to me, that's sort of flirting with the correct view of it. You see? So I'm not quite comfortable with that. Okay? You are. The mic that really is mic is a mic that is synthesized from body and mind. Okay? Don't do that. There's a body and there's a mind. And there's a mic that's synthesized from the body and mind. Okay? I think rather it might be this, okay? If you're thinking of the mic that the synthesis came from yourself, that would be correct view. If you're thinking of a mic that's body and mind mixed together and there's some kind of mic there, you could say soul maybe, then that's a wrong view, okay? So there's a good synthesis and a wrong synthesis. How's that? One is coming from you and one was always there. And the one that was always there doesn't exist. And when you're about to fall off a cliff, you're grabbing to the one that was always there, which is not there, which is the Nick which is unjustly accused, okay? Jiching. Sarah. Sorry. Deshin du ta tabu gyupetse tai ludam semla ta shemi jut. So when you're watching a horse race by, you don't say, look, the horse's body is racing by. And you don't say, look, the horse's mind is racing by. You just say horse. So you synthesize the horse from the body and mind of a thing. Okay? Shay judging. There's the clarifier, okay? A horse which was synthesized not by you. Okay? A horse which was naturally a horse from the horse's body and the horse's mind, but wasn't that way because you thought of it as in that way, okay? A horse which was put together from body and mind, but not because you offered someone a horse before. Okay? Got it? Is there a horse's body?
Yes.
Is there a horse's mind?
Yes.
Are they necessarily related to each other?
No.
From their own side?
No.
No, you see, it takes your thought to make them that way. Okay? But to think that they are connected from their own side is wrong. Okay? They weren't naturally connected. They're connected because you think of them that way. People who are crazy, or people who are geniuses, people who are artistic, or people who are Thomas Edison's, they look at stuff and they don't see it the way we do. And they don't separate things the way we do. I draw a line between the orange cloth and the white cloth. You know, Thomas Edison is looking at a piece of thread and seeing something that would light up all the cities of America. And he's not seeing a thread. He's not drawing the line the same way we do. It's difficult because we're in the middle of doing that. You know? The way in which you, what do you call that in English? Conceptualize. Demarcate. Is subjective. Okay? There's nothing to say that the horse body and the horse's mind belong to the horse until you think of it that way. Okay? Alright. Then in time, deshik tar sunma. Sera devun so sevana nang dukang so chi kambadang nangi drava so ki kepa ma chepar ma chewar. What's sera? What's devun? Yeah, two great monasteries. What does sera mean? Hell. What does debun mean?
Rice
pile. And we all know that hell destroys a pile of rice. Okay. Then a debung monk will say, and then the hell melts. And all that's left is the pile of rice. That's an old debate thing, okay? Samanam, dukan sok, chikama sok. Then if you take all the buildings in one of those great monasteries, right? Dukang means the temple in which you hold your prayers together. And Traba means the monks. Okay? So if you don't make a fine distinction, Dakshi Nurchu Sokbe Tendu De Dang Gyache Chung Nyambe Sera Dan Debung Serse Ningewashu Shar Onwa Deyin. So what we're doing with horses and what we're doing with nicks, we are also doing with seras and dribbles. Okay? We are feeling that there's a synthesis of all the monks in Sera and all the houses and temples in Sera that we lump them all together and call them Sera. And we think somehow that's a natural lumping and that it's not something coming from us. Okay? People go to Sera in India, okay? People go to Sera. By the way, Sera Lachi wrote me a couple weeks ago, which is rather extraordinary. Lachi means the governing council of both Seras, okay? And they said, would you and your students help organize a tour of America by our monks? So I'm going to write them back and say, not if they're going to do those bogus dances. but if you sang Geshe Thupten Rinchen to teach Madhyamika, then we would probably, like, we'll do a tour, or he can come to New York for 10 days and teach Madhyamika. Then we would do that, you know. So I'm going to call them and tell them that. But anyway, why is there a Sera Lachi? Lachi means the governing council of both Seras. Why is there a Sera Lachi? Because there's two Seras. There's Sera May and there's Sera Jay. It's two monasteries in a single enclosure, and there's a green line. Okay, and you don't walk over the green line, you know. Like, it, and the green line goes like this. You gotta know this house is on their side and this house is on our side, you know. And you don't. There's them and there's us. And Sera May is always better in the debate, okay? Then Sera J people who they have some genetical problems. That's why there's a Sera Lachi to go, you know. Somebody has to organize when a pipe goes under one of those houses, like that it won't get, you know, anyway. Why did I say that? Yeah. So you, a newcomer, folks come from the U.S. They come, they say, you say, where did you go? They say, I went to see Sri Pattabhi Joyce in Mysore, and then I took the bus to Bellakopi and went to Sera. And you say, which Sera? And they look at you like, what? What do you mean? And you're like, well, which Sera did you go to? And they say, I went to Sera. You know, and they don't understand there's two Seras there. You see? So saying that all the monks in a place and all the temples in a place are one monastery is coming from you. And that's an example. Because there's two monasteries. And no one would ever know if you didn't live there. You see? They're completely separate monasteries. And they're interlocking. You know, that it looks like, what do they call that map when a politician? Gerrymander. It's a gerrymandered thing. Okay? There's two monasteries there. But it's not in the place. And it's not in the monks. It's a concept placed on the place by the people who live there. Okay? And someone new who shows up sees it as one monastery. So is it one or is it two? Is it a chew toy or is it a pen? You see what I mean? He's trying to get you into the mood that even monasteries are also constructs of your mind forced upon you by your past karma. Okay? All right, here we go. Shenyang kachu sewana kachu lusen tsopa tsamla dakshi chene shen kanglang matape lingewa shikcharong kachu kachupa. Kachupa means what's ka like in Kangya? Ka, that's ka. Ka. Yeah, the word of the Buddha. It means the word, capital T, ka. Ka chu, what's chu? Chu, not chu. Chu is water. What's chu?
Ten.
Yes. Ka chu means 10 scriptures. And that's what they call a geshe at Tashit Numbo Monastery. Okay? They're called a 10 booker. It means they've mastered five ancient Indian works and their commentaries. Okay, so you don't call them geshes; they call them kachupas. Okay, 10 bookers. All right, kachu sevana, kachu lusen sopat sam de la dakshir chene shen kana matte linge wa shichaong. People mistake the collection of the parts of that Tashit Numbo geshes as being the Tashit Numbo Geshes. Okay? Alright? They look at the parts of those people and they take them to be those people. They look at the sum total. I like sum total. Let's use that. They look at the sum total of the parts of those Geshes and call them and think that's what the Geshe is. But it's not. What's missing? Thinking of them as a Geshe, which is not voluntary. It's forced on you by your past karma. Okay? It's forced on you by your seeds. You believe the pen is a pen. And you get upset when the dog destroys it and chews it. Right? Okay? Because you believe it should have been a pen by itself. And it's not. It's only a pen because you're seeing it as a pen. Right? Got it? You're seeing the geshe as a geshe. And until you see him as a geshe, he's not a geshe. He's just somebody's head and somebody's legs and somebody's mind. Okay?
Right?
Geshes aren't geshes. Okay? Kachupas aren't kachupas. Alright? The point he's trying to make is, under analysis, it would seem to be that all the parts of a car together are the car. And it would seem reasonable to say that the sum total of the parts of a car is the
car.
But that's wrong. And you're flirting with gakcha when you think that. Okay? Because it's not a car until you put all the tires there, all the axles there, all the windshield and other parts there, and then your karma forces you to see it as a car. Because without the last thing, you won't see it as a car. Get it? Arp. Okay. It's very hard. It's very hard, okay? Why make that distinction? Who cares? It's just a car. Whether you understand how you're seeing it, you can still drive it. But it will break. And it won't work. I would say you could even debate whether it's a car. Got it? An unreliable car is... I say it's not a car.
Liability.
Yeah, so he said it's a liability. You've got to get used to that. That's the last thing I'll say, okay? You are living in a world where nothing works reliably or predictably. You know, you undertake to earn some money, or you undertake to do yoga, and you don't know that you will not lose money or break your neck. And there's people who have broken their necks in yoga classes, right? So you undertake actions in your world, on your planet, you undertake actions as a gambling. It's a form of gambling. I read a book by the chairman of Sony, I think it was. And he said he didn't invest in stocks because it was no different from gambling. You know, he just felt there was no difference. And nobody can tell if a stock's going to go up tomorrow or not. Nobody in the world can tell. No matter how well-trained they are, they can't tell. So there's no difference between that and going to a Castle Rock Casino over in Sedona and throwing some money on the wheel, you know. It's just they're glorified gambling people. You know? But that's what you're doing all the time. You're just gambling that what you try is going to work. And then I sometimes sit there and I worry about it and I say, well, why do people do that? Why do you think people do that? Why do people get a job that they're not sure if it's going to make any money or not? Why do people buy a car when they're not sure if it's going to break tomorrow or not? Why do people buy aspirins knowing that half of the pills won't work? Why do people put up with that? Would you, if you went to the store and you went to buy a loaf of bread, and you went to the bakery section, right? And there was all these loaves, plastic bags, with half loaves of bread in them. Would you pay the full, would you buy it? If it had been opened and half the bread taken out, would you buy it? You just wouldn't do it because there's a certain standard in your mind. You know, a loaf of bread should be 35 slices of bread and not half of them taken out. That's not a loaf of bread. You have a certain, standard for what a loaf of bread is. And if someone had all these loaves of bread, even if it was on sale, you know, somebody took half the pieces out, but we'll sell you the rest. You just wouldn't buy it, you know. But you buy all this other stuff. You buy aspirins, half of them don't work. You go to jobs that you might lose money at, you know. You eat and drink things that might cause cancer. You know, why? Why buy a car that you don't know if it's going to break tomorrow? It's very frightening for me. Somebody said, Geshe-la, I'll give you my car. I've got this old Volvo. It works. You know? And then they're like, we'll give you this car. And I'm like, we'll give it to you for free. The Mohausens. They said, we'll give you our van for free. And I'm like, I didn't know what to do. We had this big crisis, right? It was this big crisis. And I'm like, well, what if it breaks tomorrow? Then it's worse than my Volvo. And then I realized I didn't know if it was going to break tomorrow. But I didn't know if the Volvo was going to break tomorrow. You know? But the Volvo's been running for 300,000 miles. But normally older cars break first. You know, I got all screwed up. I wish they hadn't offered it to me. What? So my last question, you have 1 minute to answer. Why do you put up with that? Why don't you just buy aspirin at work?
Even though it's painful, it's comfortable. It seems like we have another choice.
I think, yeah, what Nick said, and I'm not blaming you for anything. No, I'm just kidding. No, he said correctly, I believe, that we just, early on in our life, we decide there's no other choice. It's not that we're stupid or something, you know? Like, if there were an aspirin that all worked in the bottle, we would buy it. And we wouldn't buy the one that half the aspirins work. And if there were a car that never broke, I believe it would quickly become known that this kind of car doesn't break. You know? Unless there were some, what do you call it? Difficulty in perceiving it, you see? Okay? It's very delicate. All right? If there were obviously a car that never broke, everybody would buy that kind of car. Unless there was something about that car that made it almost invisible to normal people. You see, and that's gakcha. That's gakcha. Okay? Those cars exist. The kind of car that never breaks exists. We just have some impediment that we can't perceive them. Okay? That's all. All right? And the purpose of this class and the purpose of the meditation we're learning is to remove that impediment. And then you can create cars that never break. How would you create a car that never breaks? Give rise to people. Okay. Do you ever give rise to people now? Is it enough?
No.
Okay, how do you know?
My car breaks.
Okay? So keep being nice until everything works. Alright? That's so simple. Keep being nice. You gotta be more nice than you are now. Because things still don't work sometimes. Okay? As long as things aren't working all the time, you still have to be more nice. Okay? Nicer. Got it? Okay. We have a break. Can you want to tell us what's happening?
Yeah. You want this, please?